If stage 4 wasn't shocking enough, Eskom has managed to shock us some more. Stage 6 load shedding has now been implemented by the struggling power utility. What does that even look like? I don't know. I was just as shocked as you were when I heard. But we do have Chris Yelland, energy analyst, on the line, who's hopefully going to be able to tell us what exactly stage 6 load shedding is. Chris, many thanks for your time. We've heard about stage 4. Businesses in the country have suffered from stage 4, the economies in the doldrums because of stage 4 load shedding. But what exactly does stage 6 load shedding rather mean for the country?
Well, we are in uncharted territory. I don't believe that we've ever had stage 6 load shedding before. So we are going to experience load shedding for extended periods and for more frequently than we have before. And this is the price of trying to protect the power system. And the more stages of load shedding we get, the more painful it is for all of us, and the greater the to balance supply and demand. And it really is a signal of how close we are as we head towards the possibility of a national blackout. This is not something that is expected. It's not something that often occurs. But if you don't take the necessary load shedding action and you just allow demand to exceed supply, then eventually you will result in a national blackout. So this load shedding is an effort to avoid a national blackout.
What would the necessary load shedding action be? You're mentioning this being a necessary evil, but what are the other undertakings that need to be taken by Eskom to ensure that it can stabilize the grid?
Well, it has to do everything in its power to try and get a grip on this very high level of unplanned breakdowns. And we're seeing this at the moment in early December, and it's something that we have seen in other years. In late November, early December, seems to be a time when we have experienced load shedding like this before, but certainly not with this level of severity. We have experienced reasonable amounts of rain over this period. But frankly, the South African Highveld is not really considered to be a high rainfall area by world standards. In fact, it's rather a dry area by world standards. Can you just imagine what happens when we have a bit of rain in Johannesburg and half of the traffic lights become out of action? Now, that's, you can blame the rain, but the real underlying cause is that the infrastructure is in such poor shape that it cannot even handle a little bit of rain. There are other countries with much higher rainfalls than Johannesburg that don't experience the kind of traffic light outages when we have a bit of rain. And the same applies to electricity. There is no reason, if you manage the situation properly, you manage your coal quality properly, and your coal supplies and your equipment and your material handling, is no reason why South Africa should experience the kind of outages that Eskom is blaming on the rain. They should be blaming themselves.
They should be, because it takes me back to this issue of maintenance that we keep talking about when it comes to Eskom, and the knowing that we've got this kind of rainy period every single year, and there has been a lack of implementation in terms of ensuring that we are not experiencing what we're seeing now. And I just ask myself, Chris, how is it that each year Eskom is getting it wrong? It's the same thing that happens each year, but each year it's a dismal failure.
Yeah, we hear excuse after excuse after excuse. They blame everything except themselves. And to be run utility, even as every utility should not experience these kind of problems. It goes deeper than just Eskom. The problem is at the moment the entire electricity supply industry, the governance of this industry, is completely paralyzed and dysfunctional. And I put it to the very complex governance structure where we have 4 government ministries, all involved in the governance of this sector. So we have Treasury, who's looking at the finances of Eskom and the electricity supply industry, and the bailouts that we've seen, and the appointment of a chief restructuring officer. Then we have the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, Minister Gwede Mantashe. He's responsible for the Integrated Resource Plan, the Integrated Energy Plan, which doesn't exist, as well as NERSA, the regulator, which is basically dysfunctional, not fit for purpose. And you have the Department of Public Enterprises, responsible for the business of Eskom, and its financial, operational, and environmental sustainability. And finally, you have COGTA, who's responsible for local government. And remember that municipalities all fall under COGTA, and the municipalities handle distribution of electricity. And again, this sector is completely dysfunctional. They can't pay their electricity bills to Eskom. So you have these 4 ministries all trying to govern the sector. It's dysfunctional, it's not working, and they are literally paralyzed like a deer or a kudu in the headlights of an oncoming truck. They just sit there and do nothing.
It's actually quite frightening that you say there are 4 different entities that are involved in the running of one state-owned entity, and they still can't get it right. So they're saying the latest excuse that they've put out is that there has been a technical issue at Medupi. Just break down the issues around Medupi and why it's such a thorn in our sides as society when it comes to power provision.
Now, look, it's not only Medupi, it's also Kusile. It's these mega coal projects. We tend to think that, coal, electricity from coal is reliable. The reality is that electricity from coal is not reliable, and we've seen it proved before our very eyes. Medupi and Kusile are 2 mega projects that we're going to supply in total about 25% of South Africa's electricity. The trouble is they are running late in terms of their construction. They are experiencing massive cost and time overruns, and they're experiencing technical difficulties. So the new plant that is supposed to be coming on from Medupi and Kusile, which should be performing well with a high level of availability, like a new car. You don't expect a new car to break down all the time. But the reality is that this new plant is performing as poorly as some of Eskom's worst old power stations. And so instead of bringing the average availability of new plant up, it's actually dragging the country's figures down. And there are numerous technical difficulties at a design, execution, and operation point of view. And the bottom line is the plant is not performing like new plant should. It's performing like bad old plants.
So then I must ask you, Chris, is it worthwhile reinstating conversations around independent power producers and the role that they can play?
Absolutely, for sure. I think we've got to start to realize that the days of central planning, of the so-called command and control central planning, is not working. It's not a question of ideology. It's a question of what works and what doesn't work. And it's no point in continuing doing things the old way, the way we've been doing it for the last 60, 70 years, when this is simply not working. It's my personal view that Eskom is not too big to fail. It has already failed, operationally, financially, environmentally. And the question is what to do about it and how do we move forward. And it's my view that we have got to make sure that customers of electricity become part of the solution, and they need to start. Customers need to start taking control of their own electricity future. If we leave this in the hands of 4 ministries that are not on the same page, it is a recipe for inaction and paralysis. So I think customers have got to start taking control of their own energy future, and this also means. This means distributed generation. Generation. We need to diversify the generation sector away from our heavy overdependence on a failing monopoly. And we need to diversify and have a very broad range of generators, both Eskom, of course, as well as public-private partnerships, independent power producers, municipal generators, and literally thousands of generators embedded on customers' premises. And this diversified and geographically distributed generation sector in the competitive market, for me, is the way forward in the modern world of energy.
What about those like the unions, Chris, who might argue that let's not focus on the IPPs, perhaps the lesser of two evils, which would be breaking up the power utility into three parts? Would that be a viable alternative if we're not going to be having a serious conversation about diversifying the power contributions?
Look, breaking Eskom up into three companies, subsidiaries of Eskom Holdings, is just one step in a much broader plan, a restructuring plan. On its own, the breaking up of Eskom into three subsidiaries, generation, transmission, and distribution, is not going to solve anything. But it is a necessary step for the next step, and the next step is to create an independent grid company, in other words, to carve the transmission company out of Eskom into an independent state-owned grid company, which will allow non-discriminatory equal access on level playing fields to all manner of distributors. And this is necessary to all manner of generators in order to diversify the generation sector. So step one is to separate generation, transmission, and distribution. Step two is to carve transmission out of Eskom to create level playing fields. Step three is the creation of a diversified competitive generation sector. And step four is to rationalize the electricity distribution industry. What I'm really trying to say is that step one, which is the one that is being talked about, is certainly not the solution on its own, but is a necessary step towards a broader restructuring of the entire electricity supply industry.
And then just a final thought from you, Chris. This is a tough one because I don't know if you could put a time frame on it, but do you think you can give us a sense of how long we'll be stuck in stage six load shedding?
Yeah, I don't know for sure, and I'm sure people are working around the clock to try and get things back on track and to bring back onto the grid units that have failed. There is a lot of talk about the low morale within Eskom, salaries that have been frozen, bonuses that are not being given, and I think this low morale plays into a general feeling of inaction or an attitude of inaction where people are just no longer motivated. They don't feel the pride that they used to have in their utility. And there's a feeling of really loss of confidence and loss of morale. And I think this is playing into the situation that we find ourselves in at the moment. It really needs new leadership, leadership with a new vision. That can inspire the organization, build a motivated team around the new CEO to try and drive some of the short, medium, and longer-term solutions that are necessary to turn not Eskom around. Eskom has failed. What we need to do is develop a new vision for the electricity supply industry, and we need to put in place the necessary structures, and there are indeed short, medium, and longer-term options available. We need new generation capacity coming onto the grid. We need to diversify away from this monopoly, this failing monopoly, Eskom, and we need to diversify away from our heavy overdependence. More than 80% of electricity comes from coal. We need to diversify away from coal. We do not need more coal. We need less coal, and we need more diverse energy sources in order to manage risk. It's all about managing risk. Diversify the number of generators. Diversify the energy, the primary energy supply source, which is at the moment dominated by coal and presents massive risks for the country.
Chris Yelland, energy analyst, saying that we need to diversify away from coal and find alternative sources. Chris, many thanks for your time this evening. Of course, our conversation there revolving around the fact that we've just been plunged into stage 6 load shedding. Of course, this is going to have dire economic consequences for the country. You'll remember in the first quarter of this year, we were in stage 4 load shedding for a period of time, and this caused the economy to contract by around 3.1%. One can only imagine, if this is prolonged, what it's going to do to the economy, the very fragile economy that's now left there.